I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, and on this very special episode of the Raptors Recap, I have none other than Serge Ibaka. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, last weekend, I want to start there at your charity gala.
Excuse me?
Last weekend, I want to start at your charity gala.
Yeah.
For the Serge Ibaka Foundation. First off, I thought it was, you know, a huge success. A lot of your teammates, coaches, you know, people coming to support the event.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want you to take me behind the experiences that led you to start the foundation.
No, first of all, starting the foundation because that was my dream, you know, since I was young. And, you know, with my life, everything I go through in Congo when I was young, you know, and it helped me think, you know, to do something like that, to go back home, and to give back to my people, you know. So that's how, you know, I have the idea of, you know, the vision of creating the Serge Ibaka Foundation. You know, so in last, you know, past years, you know, I go back every summer, by the way. You know, we've been doing a lot of work with orphanages, you know, boys and girls. And my first big project I did with UNICEF, you know. So, and since that, that's how everything started.
Right. Take me through some of the current efforts that your foundation is working on.
Yeah, In the last couple of years, we've been working on, you know, him going back home and helping a lot of orphanages, you know, because it's something I love to do. I love to give back to those kids because at some point I used to live in the street in my life, you know, so it's very important for me to do that, you know. And so we've been doing that. And now, you know, for the gala we did last time, you saw we was there. It was for, you know, to introduce the foundation first big project. Is a, you know, we tried to build the healthcare center for the community.
Right.
You know, community health center.
Yeah.
So yeah, the community health center care. I don't know if I said that right. So that's the project we're working on right now with the foundation. That's why we did a gala here for the first time in Toronto.
And you know, as part of the foundation, and you know, you're also expanding the efforts to help the youth here in Toronto as well in Regent Park.
Yeah, I just forgot about it. And they also one of the biggest projects we just started this year too here in Toronto with the Regent Park. Is you know, we're working with them, provide food for the family and kids who need it. You know, because one of the things about me giving back to people food is very important.
Yes.
Because, like I say, at some point in my life, I didn't have even food, even bread to eat in the morning. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's very important for me to do that. So that's why we starting our, you know, first big project with, you know, Regent Park here in Toronto. And I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, and I think it's great that, you know, you're also expanding your roots here in Toronto as well. You don't give back everywhere
of course.
Play.
This is where I live right now. It's my home now.
Right.
You know, so, and, you know, there's a lot of people here support me, you know, but it's not only for that, too. To me, it's not about, you know, if it's, I'm from here or not. To me, it's about wherever I can, to, you know, try to help, you know, to give kids a smile on their face. It's something I love to do.
Yeah, and I think that's really real. I mean, is there one initiative that you've done in the past? You know, I'm sure you've done many of these charity trips, but just one that sticks out to you, one experience that really sticks out in your mind?
Like one time when I went back, this was one of my first projects we did. It was with UNICEF, and it was for like 3-year project, and to helping a kid, the orphanages and boys and girls. I think that was my first time because it was my dream to do that.
Right.
You know. So yeah, that's my first time. Also, the foundation now we're doing work in Mali.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't be out there yet.
Right.
But my team, you know, they be doing a lot of work out there. You know, so it's not only because you know I'm not from there and I never even been there.
Right.
But the foundation is doing work there with a lot of kids there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, one of the parts of the gala that really stuck out to me was that speech that you gave, right? And you talked a lot about how, you know, your journey going from the DRC to the NBA, you know, took a lot of steps. There are some really, really hard times that you described. And I think one thing that really stuck out to me was, you know, you said you were 11 years old and you were hanging out in this restaurant and, you know, you're hoping to get some food. And they sent you away because they said, you know, you're 18, what are you doing here? And it reminded me of that a couple of years ago, you know, you put out the statement where people started making fun of just your age and things like that. And you said, like, this is not right. Like, it's wrong to stereotype people. And I think, you know, I just wanted to ask you, like, how do you think stereotypes has affected your career?
It didn't affect my career. Trust me, it didn't affect my career, you know, because this is my 10 years in NBA. Coming from playing basketball in the streets, I didn't know how the NBA worked or nothing about NBA or even watch NBA games. And I don't know. I didn't know, like, to go in the NBA, you had to get, you know, to be an NBA player, you had to get drafted first. I didn't know all those things, you know. And I used to walk early in the morning, 4 a.m. in the morning, to go run outside and come back. Sometimes I didn't have food. And today now, I'm playing NBA. This is my 10th year. I'm playing in one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, I think it didn't affect me. I think, you know, it didn't affect me at all.
Right.
You know, actually, I think it motivated me, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, it didn't affect me, nothing at all. And I'm living my dream, you know. And a lot of people who are out there who, you know, criticize me or say those things, you know, I don't know what they're doing with their life, you know.
Yeah.
So, but me, I'm living my dream, you know. I have my family, I have my daughter, you know. So, you know, I'm blessed, man.
Right. So when you say when you go back home every summer, right, what do you take back from that experience?
You know, when I go back summer, just seeing, you know, when I started to play basketball in Congo, when I was playing basketball, actually, where I come from, nobody didn't believe about basketball. We didn't know about basketball.
You know,
it's more soccer, right?
Soccer, yeah.
So people used to tell me, like, why are you wasting your time playing basketball? You're going nowhere with basketball. You know, for them, you know, like for people who believed it was right, because basketball never take nobody nowhere, because you know, basketball are just like something just to do it, you know, just for fun.
Yeah.
You know, but now every time when I go back and I see a lot of parents now, they want like their kids to go play basketball.
Right.
You know, everybody wanna play basketball now. So that's one of the things that's really inspired me a lot.
Okay.
You know, about life, man.
Right. You know, if there's, you know, your foundation, first of all, works a lot with youth, right? And is there one piece of advice you would give, you know, to youth out there? What's that piece of advice?
You know, from my experience, personal experience, I always say to, you know, to a lot of kids out there, like last time I speak at Regent Park, with the kids in front of a lot of kids, I remember those things I told them was like, they should be thankful.
Right.
You know, you have very to be thankful because it's all the kids out there, they don't really have even half of what you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when I was young, you know, every day when I wake up morning, my prayer was not to have a PlayStation.
Right.
My prayer was not to have a bike. You know, my prayer was not to have a sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
No, my prayer every day, I used to wake up in the morning, was to have a little bread to eat.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of the things, you know, I tell our kids here, you know, they have to be thankful and they have to be patient.
Right.
You know, I have to be patient. And then the very important thing is there to understand anything is possible. Mm-hmm. If you believe in pull out work and you be patient, anything is be possible.
And you're living proof of that.
You know, yeah, like anything is possible.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think your friend. I mean, your story is not the first. It's not the first time this is being told, but
yeah,
I think
yeah,
it's very inspirational, and I think.
I think it's, you know, it's a lot of kids, especially in those days, you know, if every time I can, you know, to tell my story to a lot, you know, kids, a young age, the youth, I think it's gonna help a lot,
right?
You know, because sometimes we get confused, you know, as a young age, it's kind of normal, you know, but then. You forgot, you know why? Like I tell my daughter every day, you know, like, you know, I say, you know, she's young, mm-hmm. you know, she's kid. So sometimes she tries to complain about the little things.
Yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah, of course.
Especially those days.
Right, and they don't have the same experience.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell my daughter, and I make sure to tell my daughter, you have to understand, you are so blessed,
mm-hmm.
you know. So even, you know, your friend have those things, you don't have that, it's no matter, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you still, you are so blessed, you have to know that. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's important.
Let's move on and talk about the Raptors.
Yeah.
Just for yourself personally, how do you feel like the season has been for you, you know, playing the new position, you know, your scoring is back up again, like, how do you feel about the season so far?
No, but the season's over. The regular season's over. You know, but one thing I want to be honest with you, you know, this season, you know, a lot of people outside, they don't know. But this season, it been big challenge for me,
okay.
personally. You know, big challenge for me. It wasn't that easier. You know, with different roles and I had this year, and I had to stay focused and come back, you know, to focus on about the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to help the team at the maximum I can.
Right.
Not try to worry about myself, or if I'm starting, or if I come on the bench, or if I'm playing less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very challenging, you know, but thank God I found a way to fight through all of that, and, you know, just to find my role on the team where I can help the team on a high level,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, all I can say, this, you know, this regular season, you know, I'm so thankful for that, you know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of fans out there really appreciate it, right, because, you know, like you said, you made a lot of selfless decisions, right, to help the team win, right? And I think, you know, a lot of people don't really quite understand the difference from going playing power forward to center. It's a lot more full-time power forward to full-time center, yeah.
to be a starter, to come from the bench,
yeah,
you know, last minute or the, you know, and but, you know, I always say, right, you know, challenge life, you know, without challenge, I will not, you know, I'm sure I will not be, you know, be here,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think the challenge is, you know, bring the best of us, you know, in life and everything we try to do.
Yeah. You know, in the offseason, Nick Nurse talked about how, you know, he visited you and he explained to you sort of how the new role was going to be. You know, how was your relationship like with Nick Nurse and sort of just how did he sort of explain the new role to you?
No, me and Nick, we have a coach and player relationship.
Right.
You know, and you know, we both professional, and you know, we have one thing in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing in common is, you know, we try to win. You know, so we work together. You know, I'm sure not only with me, but with all the players. You know, it's about to, you know, it's about the team to win. You know, so I think this is a professional relationship, and I think it's kind of normal.
Right,
you know, and he have the same relationship with me, with other guys too.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, you've been on the team now for 3 years. This is your third season with the Raptors. You know, how would you compare the mentality of this team in 2019 to when you first joined in 2017?
I think we are more mature now. This team, they are more mature now. You know, after a couple of years with everything happening last year too. And then we got new guys, you know, with championship mentality,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think, you know, we just mature.
Right.
Yeah, mature and more solid.
And it's a great opportunity for you guys, right?
Yeah,
for a lot of you guys.
Like, yeah, it's a great opportunity. And, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be different. I'm sure, you know, it's easy to say that. It's mm-hmm. going to be different. But a lot of people, you know, when I say or when people say or when we say, they always, right away, people going to start thinking about, oh, last year again. It's easy to say. You know, we are, you know, it's easy to say that for us, But we believe, no matter what, it's the way we believe, you know, if you player believe about that, I think that's the most important.
Yeah, I think definitely like the confidence and vibe around the team.
Yeah, you have to have confidence. No matter what, no matter how many times you fail,
right,
you have to stand up and still have a confidence.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that's the thing we have. We know what happened last year. Of course, we know. It was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Of course. I know that. But that's not mean it's going to stop me to believe.
Right.
That's not mean it's going to, you know, stop me to have confidence on me, confidence on my team.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons for the confidence also is the addition of Kawhi Leonard. First off, just let's go back in time. What was your reaction when you found out about the trade? And what did you think he was like when you first heard about the trade? And then after being teammates, how has he been different from your initial perception?
Well, my first reaction, I'm sure, was like, sure. It was like everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody, you know? That's what happened normally when somebody get traded, especially a player like DeRozan,
mm-hmm.
you know, who be here so long.
Right.
For so many, many years, all the fans love him here. He loved the city.
Right.
And I think that's normal reaction for everybody to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and then, because I've been in the same situation before I got traded.
Right.
So, you know, and then, you know, I already understand, I already know it's about the it's business. That's how I go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the team, they try to make a move. You know, try to make change. You try to win. So that's how I go. You know, but it's just hard to lose a friend.
Yeah.
To lose a friend where, to lose a friend, especially DeRozan, nice guy. You know, great professional.
Right.
So it was just hard, but, and at the end of the day, you know, he's happy where he is. You know, with his family, and you know here, and we continue to you know to do our thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And you know about Kawhi, like you know, I'm sure you sort of knew Kawhi a little bit, but you know now you've gotten to be teammates for a year. Like, how is he different from what you first thought he was like?
I know Kawhi as a player, you know, because I used to play against him when I was in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
you know, a couple of times. Like everybody we know, you know, is
2014. That was really
you know,
good battle.
One of the you know best two-way player in the game.
Yeah.
You know, so having Kawhi in your team is not something like you're going to be, oh, no.
Yeah,
You know, everybody, you know, anybody would be, you know, oh, wow. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just the move they made, you know, at the same time, at the time. But having Kawhi in your team, no one would say, oh, regret, or say, nah, it's a bad move. You know, so you know, like, having when you have Kawhi in your team, it's going to make your team better.
Right.
You know that. So... yeah, is this one of those things?
Right. You know, one of the things that kind of became a headline early in the season was about how, you know, Kawhi Leonard and his leadership, and that became a topic. And I thought it was a little bit unfair, right, because people lead in different ways. And I think people always have this perception of Kawhi. Can you speak to Kawhi's leadership?
You know, this world really, this is so complicated. If you try to understand how people think or why they say this, why they act like that, you're just gonna, you know, be out there, you know, get frustrated, mm-hmm. be mad, then, you know, because I saw a lot of comments where some people say, oh, this guy is a bad leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He's always mean with his teammates. He always talk, you know, he's just bad. And when somebody's quiet, he don't show that in front of camera,
right?
And it's bad, you know. And to me, I always say to be a leader, right? It's not about you have to show people, everybody in the stadium, there to see how you talking to all your teammates. Are you screaming or on TV?
Mm-hmm.
That is no. To me, that's not leaders, right?
Right.
So Kawhi, those type of leader where his job is, he gonna come, he gonna get on the court and lead his team to win,
right?
You know, it's a lot of people have some different type of be leaders.
Right.
Not everybody's not everybody's vocal leaders.
Yeah, you for know? Sure. Yeah.
So
he leads by example.
Yeah. So you cannot blame somebody because they are not vocal leader. You know, as you know, and as soon as the guy get on the court, he do his job. He get a job done.
Mm-hmm.
He lead the team when you need him. You pass him the ball last shot. You're going to make it.
He's good at that.
What do you ask for?
Yeah.
And then it's other, on the other side, some players, they're so vocal as a leader, and then they get criticized again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's what it is, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoever who like it, like, if you don't, bye.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about Marc Gasol, right? First of all, what was your first memory of meeting Marc? Was it at the Spanish national team?
Yeah, I met Marc. Well, first of all, when I moved to Spain, I used to watch Marc play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I used to watch Marc play.
What was he playing?
I was a junior. I was playing a junior.
Okay.
He was playing already a professional. He was in first league in Spain, ACB.
Yeah.
That's the league name, ACB. It's called ACB. So I used to watch him play, and he already had so much talent. Mm-hmm. He used to be Pau and him, you know, like, oh, he's a Pau brother. He has so much talent, and I used to watch it with him play, and then when we become a teammate with the national team,
right?
You know, and he's a nice guy. Nice guy is, you know, we are good, very good friend.
Right.
You know? So it's not like something new. We be friends already for years.
Mm-hmm.
We know each other. So
yeah, what do you think about what Gasol adds to the team in terms of just, you know, he's kind of a player that the Raptors haven't had in a very long time.
Yeah, it's different. You know, one thing I like about, you know, having Marc, you know, Marc too, is me and him, we're so different.
Right.
You know, we kind of give the team different looks.
Right.
You know, we got different looks because Marc's so good. He can pass the ball.
Yeah.
He got vision. You mm-hmm. know, vision. You know, he got his IQ so high. You know, he can pack the game without scoring the ball. You know, and also he's so big. He got presence in the paint.
Right.
Know, really, like, you know, when we play against, you know, teams who got center, you know, big.
Right.
You know, we got Marc. You know, if you play a team, we got, you know, center, like, you know, they're quicker, faster, you know, then you got me, you know, so.
Right.
It's just one of those things, like, you know, it's just good for the team to have it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you kind of talked about it earlier, but, you know, how's the transition been for you since Gasol's come in here?
Like I said earlier, you know, and now I just, you know, now I just find my role.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm happy with my role.
Right.
Especially going forward to the playoff.
Yeah.
I have to really focus on that.
It's about winning.
It's about winning. It's not more about if I'm going to start or not. It's about winning,
right.
You know. So, and I'm sure everybody have the same mentality right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like I said again, I'm not gonna lie to you. You know, during the season, it was hard.
Yeah,
you know, it was hard mentally. But you know, I fight through, and now you know, and now the season's over. Now the regular season's over. Now is, you know, it's really time. Like, we have to play.
Right. And yeah, you know, like the bench, I feel like. When you first play with the second unit a little bit, like, you know, it was, I feel like everyone was a little bit disconnected. But then recently, of late, you know, 3 20-point games recently off the bench, like, you know, you have the same production on and off the bench.
Yeah, like I say, you know, now I'm just focused on my role,
mm-hmm.
you know, come to the bench and then, you know, play.
Right. One thing fans are really excited about this year,
yeah,
your TV show. How hungry are you?
Yeah, I think my TV show is one of, I don't know. I heard, and I didn't think that
uh-huh.
I heard people say it to me. So
yeah.
I don't like to say, I don't want to say that, me personally, but a lot of fans say my TV show is one of the best YouTube show.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think?
I mean, I have a YouTube alert.
Okay.
Yeah, my phone will tell me if you post.
Yeah, so yeah. You know,
especially this Kawhi episode that's coming out Thursday.
Yeah, that it's coming tomorrow actually.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah. No, people are looking forward to that one. I mean, first off, I have to tell you personally, I watched 2 minutes of the April Fool's video you put out.
Yeah,
I
got you,
Some people told me they watched the whole 20-minute video.
Yeah, some people I have a video of Chris Boucher.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a video of Chris Boucher here on my phone. He was on the plane. He asked me, "Oh, the Kawhi episode is out." I said, yeah, it's out.
Mm.
And then I was recording everything. He didn't know, right?
I
was recording everything. So he put the show
mm-hmm.
on his phone and it started. You know how it started?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
when he kind of stopped, the video stopped,
mm-hmm.
and he started moving his phone like this. I was like, wow, that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I give credit for that video.
Mm-hmm.
I give credit to my crew, you know, my team, you know, my camera crews. You know, like, they didn't want to bring me the idea. Like, I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't want to really put all the idea of doing that video. So I they deserve all the credit.
Yeah, I think it's very creative. It's shown like a personality of your side.
Yeah, they deserve
all
the credit. My camera crews, they deserve all the credit.
I'm going to ask you two questions about it. One, who taught you how to cook?
My dad. I just learned from my dad, watching from my dad. You know, and actually, I'm thinking this summer, I'm really trying to go, starting to have like cooking class, you know.
Oh, okay.
To master, how you say, master. I don't know if it's French or is in English, they say that too. Master's minds, right?
That's not master, yeah.
I have to master his minds. Maximize?
Oh, maximize.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. I have to maximize, you know, my cooking skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I have to be in a master levels, not chef level, but master levels.
Okay.
Because master fuzzy.
Yeah, because people are saying that you only use salt and pepper.
Oh, yeah, but that's the secret.
Yeah.
They don't know about it.
Oh, they don't know
about
it.
Yeah, but you have to know how to do it, though.
Okay.
You know, it's not the same. You can put, you know, people, you can put salt and pepper
uh-huh.
in something you cooked. If you cook something,
yeah.
you put salt and pepper. But if I do it, it's going to taste different.
Okay.
Now we put the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and okay. also, they have. I want people to understand is my salt and pepper come from different way. It's not like a regular salt.
Right, I see.
You know, it come from like, you know, Salk Buzani somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a fancy salt.
You know,
okay.
it's a fancy and powerful spiritual salt
uh-huh.
and pepper. So that's why my food cook, you know, tastes different.
And then just the last question about the show. I mean, how hard was it to get Kawhi on the show? Because, you know, Kawhi is, you know.
No, I think actually it wasn't that hard. Like, I thought it was going to be hard because he's the guy, you know, he don't really like to talk. He's quiet.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I think we were just so cool. You know, it wasn't that hard. You know, the only problem was the house schedule. It was hard. And he got family.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we come back, and then he was a little busy at that time too. So, but it wasn't that hard because he wanted to do it. He told me he wanted to do it.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that does it mostly for the podcast.
Okay. But anyway, it's me, Serge Ibaka, a.k.a. Mr. Avec Class. I say a.k.a. Mr. Avec Class. I'm 100% pure from the motherland and my fuzzy style, my fuzzy shape. How hungry are you?
There you go.
Because I'm always hungry.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, thank you, Serge.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.